From the New York Times, I'm Michael Barbaro. This is The Daily. Today, why Donald Trump's decision to launch missiles into Syria is at odds with nearly everything Donald Trump has said about Syria. It's Monday, April 10th. So, Peter, as a private citizen and a candidate, what did Donald Trump say about America's role in Syria?
Well, he had a very clear position on it. He said, it's not our business. It's not our problem. He's tweeted that out. Syria is not our problem with a capital N-O-T.
Peter Baker is our chief White House correspondent.
And he took a position when President Obama was confronted with a chemical attack, much like the one last week, actually much worse than the one last week in 2013. And Donald Trump, then private citizen, said, you shouldn't attack. Don't do it. It's not worth it. It's not our business.
Will you stay out of Syria?
I would have stayed out of Syria, and I wouldn't have fought so much for Assad, against Assad, because I thought that was a whole thing.
He was very explicit.
Very explicit, very straightforward, multiple tweets, not just one time. And he felt that it was not our business to get involved.
You say you wouldn't go into Syria, you wouldn't have fought Assad.
But I would go after ISIS, big league.
Okay, and what did Donald Trump say, again, as citizen and candidate?
Donald, good morning.
Good morning.
How's it going?
It's going well.
Yeah?
About America's relationship to Russia and what he wanted it to be.
Sure, yeah, he thought we ought to be friends.
Do you like Vladimir Putin's comments about you?
Sure. When people call you brilliant, it's always good, especially when the person heads up Russia.
He thought Vladimir Putin was an admirable, strong leader that we should be able to do business with, and clearly it's better when America and Russia get along, not just better when America and Russia get along, because a lot of presidents have said that, but he really was pretty deferential to them when it came to things like the intervention in Ukraine, when it came to things like Crimea, when it came to things like intervention in Syria. He basically said, well, we welcome that because we're going to be partners with them in Syria against ISIS.
Russia wants to get rid of ISIS. We want to get rid of ISIS. Maybe let Russia do it. Let them get rid of ISIS. What the hell do we care?
So he took a very friendly approach toward Vladimir Putin and the Kremlin as a candidate.
Okay, so late last week, as you well know, President Trump sent 59 Tomahawk missiles into Syria, where Russia has troops on the ground and is formally an ally of the Syrian government of Assad. What did we learn about these two things we just talked about from that action?
Yeah, you know, the missile strike against Syria basically went against everything Donald Trump as a candidate had said. He said we should not be intervening in the middle of Syria's civil war beyond fighting ISIS, and we shouldn't be alienating Russia. But he did both those things last week. In fact, he did both those things in a way that President Obama never did.
We will pursue this diplomatic track. I fervently hope that this can be resolved in a non-military way.
President Obama never authorized direct action against Bashar al-Assad's government, even though he said Bashar al-Assad should go. And he obviously, you know, had never taken a strike that would be so close to Russian troops. There were Russian airmen and other personnel on the base that we hit. Now, we thought they were on a different part of the base. We didn't hit them. We gave them a little notice. But it's a kind of a close thing when you know, when you're hitting the very same base.
Peter, can that actually be, in its own way, a powerful strategy? You know, case-by-case decisions that might look like inconsistency or a lack of a strategy. And would you define it as strategic, or is it just kind of happenstance?
Well, I think it's instinctual more than strategic, but it does have a potential advantage, right? Which is if you don't really know what the other guy is going to do, you know, it leaves you guessing and wondering and perhaps a little intimidated in some cases. That's certainly what he hopes North Korea takes away from this. And you remember Richard Nixon had what he called the madman strategy. He actually did call it a strategy, and he was very calculated about it. But he told Kissinger a lot of the times, look, you tell them you got this crazy president, you can't predict what he's going to do, he might do anything. And he thought that was a great leverage point for the United States, for his administration, in trying to convince other actors on the international stage to do what he wanted, because who knows what he might do otherwise.
But just to be clear, in the case of President Trump versus, for example, President Nixon, you believe this is more instinctive than grand strategy?
I think so. That's certainly what it looks like now. We're only 75 days or so into his administration, but certainly what we see so far looks like a man who's responding according to what his gut tells him to do.
Yesterday, chemical attack.
In this case, in the Syria case.
Against innocent people, including women, small children, and even beautiful little babies, their deaths was an affront to humanity.
He looked at these pictures. He was clearly personally affected by these grotesque horrors involving small children, and he felt a sense of responsibility. And it's something he didn't feel, obviously, outside the Oval Office, but he's the man now sitting in that chair, and it does kind of change your perspective. So he was willing to throw away years of positions on Syria to do the exact opposite of what he had previously said should be done.
As Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, heads to Russia this week, can we count on the United States wanting to keep that relationship, the United States and Russia, as strong as possible?
I don't think that we've necessarily thrown aside the idea that we can work with Russia at this point. Clearly, there's still this idea that if we can team up with Russia against ISIS, that's better for us than being on opposite sides there. But
well, I think the Russians have played now for some time the role of providing cover for Bashar al-Assad's behavior.
You heard Rex Tillerson in his Sunday show interviews, for instance, take a pretty tough line on Russia.
Regardless of whether Russia was complicit here or whether they were simply incompetent or whether they got outwitted by the Bashar al-Assad regime, you would have to ask the Russians that question. But clearly they have failed in their commitment to the international community.
He's saying, look, they were either in cahoots with or incompetent in terms of monitoring Syria's possession of these chemical weapons that they had in theory gotten rid of under Russian auspices.
Right.
So he's laying the blame on Moscow for the fact that this chemical weapon attack happened. That's tough stuff, and we'll see what happens. On the other side, Dmitry Medvedev, the prime minister of Russia, said on Facebook after the strike, he described the relationship as, quote, completely ruined. And he said that basically now the fog is lifted and all the campaign talk, in effect, he's saying, turns out to be just that. So there's a kind of a, you know, interesting atmosphere that Rex Tillerson is going to be walking into. And in fact, you know, there's some talk about whether he actually will get in to see Putin in the end, because there is sort of this, you know, anger over what happened. But Putin is a practical man, too, and I don't think he's interested necessarily blowing up the relationship if there's common ground. And I think, you know, you're going to see both sides probably try to find a way to move past this if they can.
So this trip that the Secretary of State is taking, it was planned before the missile attack.
Right. Yes, this trip was planned before the missile attack in order to try to talk to Russia about Syria and ISIS in the Middle East. So, in fact, the topic was already on the agenda, but clearly the tone of the trip, the whole tenor of the trip has changed now.
Peter, a separate question, because you are reporting 24 hours a day at this point. You're also digging into the events of the past week and what they mean for the legacy of President Obama, who, as you said, did not take action against Syria after that 2013 chemical attack. Can you tell us what you're hearing about how this is challenging Obama's legacy?
Well, of course, President Obama had what he thought was a pretty compelling answer when people said, hey, you set a red line but then didn't enforce it.
Our interest is in helping the Syrian people, but nobody suggests that us being involved in a land war in Syria would necessarily accomplish this goal. And I would note that those who criticize our foreign policy with respect to Syria, they themselves say, no, we don't mean sending in troops. Well, what do you mean?
And his answer was, look, yes, that's fine, but I got a better deal. I had an agreement with Vladimir Putin and Bashar al-Assad to remove all of his chemical weapons. And isn't that better than just sort of a pointless military strike anyway?
Well, perhaps you should have taken a strike in Syria to get chemical weapons out of Syria. Well, it turns out we're getting chemical weapons out of Syria without having initiated a strike. So what else are you talking about? And at that point, it kind of trails off.
And, you know, that was an argument he's been making now for a few years. The problem is we now see that Bashar al-Assad either cheated and didn't give all of the weapons up, as he said he did, or he somehow developed more of them. So obviously that kind of undercuts that whole part of his legacy, and it leaves President Obama to answer for this. And you heard a lot of former Obama aides this last few days very publicly angsting over this and how they think actually, in fact, Donald Trump actually did the right thing and how they wish that their administration had done more, and maybe this deal wasn't a good one in the first place.
It's interesting, Peter. I mean, will President Trump's attack on Syria be seen as recognition that you can't trust a dictator in a way that President Obama was perhaps a little naive in thinking that he could?
Well, certainly President Obama came to office promising to deal with the world's rogue leaders. He said he would meet, in fact, in person with some of the worst actors on the stage, including the leaders of Iran, Syria, Cuba, North Korea. He didn't actually do that with most of them, but he did cut a deal with Iran on their nuclear program, and he did cut this deal with Syria on their chemical weapons. And his view is diplomacy is better than armed conflict. But we can see the limits of diplomacy here. If you have a partner on the other side who's not, you know, honorable and not willing to live up to the agreement they made. So I think that's certainly going to be a lesson. I think it's going to be a lesson that President Trump takes as he proceeds about, you know, various deals that he could make around the world.
Peter, thank you very much. I'm going to let you tend to that dog. As we often as we often tell the listeners of The Daily, this is the news, but it's also real life.
Hey, have a good one. Take care. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back. Here is what else you need to know today. The Islamic State is claiming credit for two suicide bombings at Christian churches in Egypt on Sunday, Palm Sunday, that killed at least 44 people and injured dozens more. The attacks are a challenge to Egypt's strongman leader, President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, who returned from a visit to the U.S. on Friday.
I just want to let everybody know, in case there was any doubt, that we are very much behind President el-Sisi.
Where President Trump hailed him in the fight against ISIS.
I just want to say to you, Mr. President, that you have a great friend and ally in the United States and in me.
Trump made clear he could overlook Sisi's record of mass detentions, torture, and killings in favor of combating ISIS and defending minority Christians in Egypt, whom ISIS has signaled it would target. And
is there any senator who wishes to change his or her vote?
President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Neil Gorsuch, is scheduled to be sworn in as an associate justice today, the court's 101st. Gorsuch was confirmed by a vote of 54-45 on Friday, with the support of just three Democrats.
The nomination of Neil M. Gorsuch of Colorado to be an associate justice of the Supreme Court of the United States is confirmed.
Finally, The Times reports that President Trump has warned two warring factions inside his White House to make peace. Fed up with infighting between Steve Bannon and Jared Kushner, Trump told them to, quote, work this out. That's it for The Daily. I'm Michael Barbaro. See you tomorrow.